Welcome to Hope Chapel. You're about to listen to Andrew Cole.
Well, happy Father's Day to everybody and welcome to church to every single person. It's great. There's a spring in the step of everybody today because spring has sprung. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're not just going to give you a normal Father's Day message. I want to talk about spring. I want to talk about our next season that we're going into. That's good. So I'm going to speak this morning on the symphony of spring. I love the word symphony. I love what it represents, and I love it according to the purposes of God. I like what that resembles about being in the rhythm of God, about everything coming together, every sound and every talent and every gift starting to form one sound that God can orchestrate in our lives and the sound that makes. And it's no time like now when we look around and there's a change of season that then you start to hear the earth start to sing. From birds to insects to life on trees to the dreaded weeds, but everything grows so rapidly and is singing this symphony of creation. And we are a part of that. We are part of God's creation. And we've been in seasons all year. This is our last season before we start our summer again, because we started with summer in December last year. We're going to end with summer. I wanted to bookend our year with two harvest seasons that we would generally call harvest in our area, because it's all about the harvest. It's all about spreading our faith. It's all about what God wants to do within us to use our voice and our hands and our acts of kindness in who we are as disciples of Him, wholehearted followers, to be able to spread the good news. So I wanted to start the year and end the year with harvest, knowing during the year we had all these other seasons to go through. So spring is an exciting season. I think there is a different sense, even in the church this morning, there is a sense that there's a difference, a change in your lives, in what you brought this morning. Because it's not actually change, it's what you brought with you this morning. And that is going to be a key to some of the things that we talk about this morning. So I want to be poetic this morning. My favourite poetry is Dr. Seuss, but I'll steer clear from that. I like making up little ditties when I'm alone and I make up these things. They're quite wonderful. But I like Dr. Seuss poetry, but we won't go there. But we will go into the beauty of the Song of Solomon's, and we'll steer clear from the R-rated verses, because I'm sure you're all thinking whether we go there. We could, but we won't. We just won't go there. But in chapter 2, we're going to go, 11 and 12, we're going to go to this morning. And it's a passage, this passage is it's an invitation. You've heard me say that over and over and over again all year, and you'll probably hear it forever, is that I love that Scripture and that God invites us. It invites us to go there, invites us to go a place, invites us to go to a new place, invites us to go back to a place to deal with what we've never dealt with, invites us to go deeper and further in Him. And I love that about that. There's always an invitation. There's our whole reason to share our faith is we're inviting others to come into connection with their Creator. Because we shouldn't be just telling people, we've got to be inviting people, because our God welcomes everybody, but it's an invitation in that. So it's an invitation this morning to experience the depths of spring. It's a season rich with renewal, love, and hope. They're great words. I love those words. I want to unravel the significance of spring within our spiritual pilgrimage this morning and discover more of God's promises. I think I've been a Christian since 1987. When were you born, Charlie? 2000 what? What is that? 10. So I became a Christian in 1987. Just really feels old, but it doesn't. You know, like when you're an 80s kid, you sort of think, no, it's not old. But then when you think of Charlie and your own children, you are old. So I guess there's a promise there. I am old. But since I've become a Christian, what the thing that I love the most is it doesn't matter how much you think you know. It doesn't matter how much you feel like you've nailed Scripture. I'm all over this. That there's always more of God's promises that become revealed to you. That you come across that start to become real in your own life. And no more through this whole year of seasons is the promises of God become alive and they become real to you. They don't just become words on a page. They don't become cliched phrases on a wall or on your screen or memes or whatever it is that you read. They don't become those wonderful things that you read, but they become real to you. And that's what the Word of God is all about. That's what our faith is all about, an authentic faith that changes you from the inside, that brings about change and change that lasts, not just change because somebody else has changed, not just you don't ride other people's revelation. You don't go on to other people's experiences. That's how amazing our God is, because although we're here together, we're all individuals as well, and you're all on different parts of your pilgrimage this morning and your adventure and journey of faith. And each of us will have at separate times that the Word come alive to you. Make note of those times. It could come on the back of someone else's conversation. You know, it could come just about, you know, even Ben sharing a little bit this morning about Jesus and about him being the prince and what that means. That can be a revelation, and it could be information from Ben or from anybody else. But if that becomes a revelation for you, then you own it, you take it, write it down, meditate on it. Meditate means chatter about it. Chatter about it yourself. Meditate on his Word day and night. Keep talking about it. You know, it's okay these days because you can talk in the car and people just think you're on the phone. It's fantastic. So you can just chatter to yourself and pray and no one knows. You give them a nod and a smile or a gesture, whatever you feel, and they think you're just normal. Where a few years ago they just thought you were a raving lunatic or abusing them, one or the other, and then you were going to get something chucked at you. But now they're just, everyone's aware that you're on the phone. So always use that. When you're driving, start chatting to God. Just chatter away what God is speaking to your life. I think my voice just broke then. That's fantastic. So let it become the promises of God. Let them be revealed to you. Let us discover more and more of what they are and start to own them for yourself. The scripture this morning is a Song of Solomon's 2:11 to 12. Everyone say, behold. Behold, the winter is past. Powerfully, it doesn't say powerfully, winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The winter rain is. We welcome the spring rain, but there's a difference between winter rain and spring rain. The spring rain is very refreshing. The winter rain is just intense, as we've noticed over the last little while. Winter rain is great because it's really purposeful. The spring rain is like the icing on the top. It's just, it just fills the crop's heads fill, the kernels get full where they need spring rain. We need spring rain, but the winter rain is gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing of birds has come. Don't you know it in the mornings? Now, if you're in bed when the sun comes up, you hear the lovely birds chirping and keeping you awake. And the voice, I like this, of the turtle dove. Everyone say a turtle dove. Turtle dove. That's amazing. That reminds me of Christmas. We should sing a carol. The voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. That's where we're going to dig around in this morning, and I won't keep you very long, but I want us to just crack open spring, and we've got 3 months to delve into it deeper and deeper and start to living in spring. You know, we've sung, I believe, I don't know the song list because I don't know the song's names, but I believe we sang some of those songs we sang today over the last few weeks. Is that correct? Yes. Today, there was a difference, not because of any of these guys, but because of us, because we brought joy today. There was joy in the house. The songs almost sounded different, but it was because of what was within us. We should take a lesson from this. We should understand what's going on as the transition of seasons, not only in the natural, but in the spiritual of our own lives. So my first point is that departure of winter, we've got to embrace the change. The opening phase, the winter is past. Powerfully, it encapsulates the end of... We didn't set up winter as hardship or enduring or anything like that. We set it up differently because we always need to go through every season. But some people look at winter as a hard time that we're going... You know, if you're going through a hard time or a difficult time in your life, often people call it a winter time. Like it's, oh, I'm in my winter, which can be a barren and not much life is happening. I'm coming from that angle when I talk about this. But hardship and despair of winter in this context symbolises periods of struggle, emotional, spiritual or physical challenges. They just leave us feeling barren. They can make you feel like that. If you have a week or 2 weeks of cold weather and rain, it can actually start making you feel a bit down. However, the arrival of spring signifies an important transition. Just as seasons change, our lives can experience new beginnings. That we can experience, and it's not just in a cliche term, we genuinely can have a season of new beginnings. The key here is recognizing that change is an essential part of life. I reckon Peter Ball's asleep. Nope, he's up. Good on you, mate. No, I just saw his head down. I thought he was shaking. Hey? All right, just checking, Pete.
Welcome back.
Happy Father's Day. Should never do that to people. That's okay. The key here is recognising that change is an essential part of life. Winter teaches us resilience, and when it departs, it opens the door to the new. Winter has departed. There's an open door for the new. Lamentations 3:22-23, it says this. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. I'm sure you've all read that scripture. But when have you started owning it for yourself? When this is a promise of God that you can start to own, that know that that's about you, that they're going to come to your life every single day. They are available to you every single morning. Are we taking part in that? Are we embracing it this morning? I think this morning we did. I think this morning there was such a difference. I think this whole season, it leans itself to that excitement and that joy that comes with it. The verse from Lamentations reminds us that every day brings fresh mercy from God. His love, like the warmth of the sun after winter, renews us and revitalizes our spirits. And as we travel through life, we must not resist change, but embrace it as a part of God's plan. I want us to reflect on areas in our own lives where perhaps you have felt stuck this morning in a winter season from a negative context, I guess. What burdens are you ready to let go of? Allowing the warmth of God's love to melt away those past difficulties and prepare to step into a bright new beginnings of spring. Our spring in the natural could still mean that you have a winter spiritually. What do you choose to do this morning? Do you choose to have a winter spring, or do you choose to have a joy-filled spring this morning? Have a look around. You can't help bring joy to it when you see the flowers that are blossoming, the bees that are buzzing around everywhere doing their work, the birds that are filling everything again. Just that whole joy, that symphony of nature starting to buzz around us. It's like when someone starts playing a tune, a rhythmic tune, which you then just can't help but move. We won't do that this morning, as embarrassing ourselves, but when something gets played, you can't stop moving yourself. You can't help yourself. It's a bit like that in this season. We can't help be joyful. You would have to intentionally not be joyful to be miserable in spring. Good on you, Tim. The blooming of new life, it's rich with potential. I love the word potential because I look at it every week. I look out from here every single week and see potential. Every person that I talk with during the week, I can see potential. I much prefer to look at the potential than perhaps some of the negatives that we can be talking about in any conversation. I can have people come and we have some difficult conversations, but I would still much rather look at the positives of them as a person than what they're going through right now and then, right there and now. So when I look out of here this morning, all I see is potential. And I know some of you are going through a difficult time. I know others are going through an absolute sunny daytime, which is amazing. I know some of you are having a birthday today. How good is that to have a birthday today? So that's a good thing. I look out of here every single week and I see the potential of what God is doing in your life. I look out of here this morning and I love seeing Madison here this morning because she's filled with potential. And that's what I look at. I love to see you. Welcome, Maddie. Good on you for being here. You're awesome. You're always welcome. This is your house. This is your people and this is your place. And we love you dearly. But as scripture indicates, springtime is when flowers bloom, signifying beauty and new life. The imagery reflects God's intention for us to flourish and to embody potential. That's what God wants us to do. He wants you to flourish. He doesn't want you to not be fruitful. It's abnormal not to be fruitful. It's abnormal to be barren. What is normal for God is to be fruitful. It is normal for God for Him to look at you and see the potential that He's sown within you. That's what He sees. And if you are a negative type of person that looks at people's negatives, then can I encourage you, put on your spring glasses today and start to see the good in everybody. Start to see the wondrous things that God has placed within them and start to focus on them and draw them out of each other. When it says love and encourage one another, draw out the good. Don't focus on the negative. Who knows their negatives? Put your hand up if you know your negatives. Who knows your wonderful traits? That's great. Focus on them. I remember listening to Paul Scanlon once and he talked about he has, I don't know how many children he has, a few girls and he has all girls. He has twin girls and he was going to parent-teacher interviews and one of them he spoke about, the teacher was saying of what she wasn't good at. Oh, she struggles here and, you know, she can't add up, she paints like a child, you know, rah, rah, rah. And Paul was sitting there thinking, righto, okay, so he said, okay, what is she good at? Is she good at anything? Oh, she's really good at blah, blah, blah. And he goes, I can never change. I can never make her great in the things she's not good at. If she can't add up, I can maybe get to a place to make her good. But I want to make her good great So I just want to focus on what she is good at so I can make that and help her be great in that area. Now, I know there's probably a lot of teachers that probably disagree with me, and I'm sure that's okay, but I like the concept of that. I like the thought of that. I like the thought if someone has got some good attributes, about it, let's fan that into a flame. Let's make sure that we focus on that and say, man, you are good at that. Let me help you cheer on your cause to make you amazing at that, because God's obviously put that in your life. Let us fan that into a flame. Let us be, make that limitless. Be whatever you can be in that. Because I think that's the way God looks at us. He looks at us and sees that potential that he has sown within you and the fruitfulness that you can be. And then you might think, oh, you're just trying to make us feel good. Yes, I am. Because it's spring. We should feel great. The sun is shining by that little bit of rain to keep the dust down this morning. That's great. But now it's nice and warm. It's warm in here. I know that. When we think of flowers, we think of growth and vibrancy, elements that should characterize our walk with God. Growth and vibrancy. Growth and vibrancy. That should characterize our walk with God, especially in this growing season of spring. Isaiah 43 captures God's desire to bring forth new life from barren places. It brings revelation to our understanding of spring. It's not merely a natural phenomenon, but a spiritual awakening. Every flower that appears is a testament of God's power to create something beautiful out of our struggles. So how good would it be if this season of the struggles that you've had in the past become beautiful flowers in the kingdom of God? How would it be is that these dull, barren places that you've struggled with over a winter period in your life start to bud and form these magnificent flowers, all different and unique from one another? How great would it to be in the reality of that, not just the words spoken? How great would it be that for your life this morning, that the area that you struggled becomes the thing that's the most beautiful about your life? Well, it can happen in this season. It can happen right now. It can happen intentionally in this season. Isaiah 43 says, "See, I am doing a new thing. You've heard it before, but now it springs up. It springs up. Do you not perceive it? Don't you see it, that it's springing up? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." See, I see that it doesn't just spring up from anywhere. I want to personalize this scripture for you. Stop looking at that scripture from a bigger perspective. Make it individually. Make it as an individual scripture for you this morning. Make it that it's talking about you this morning. You see, so I don't think it just springs up from anywhere. It springs up from what's already there. It springs up from what's already within you. Within you. You see, there are many things within us that God has planted, that God has done, that you have intentionally planted in yourself in other seasons, in different seasons that are no longer at our doorsteps anymore. We have now got something within us that is the right season for in order to grow, in order to spring up from with us. Don't you see it? Don't you see what's within you? Can you not see it? Do you need me to tell you? Do you need somebody else to tell you? Or can you start to see? It's not pride. It's nothing to do with that. It's just that God has planted some amazing things in each and every one of our lives. That's the uniqueness of our walk with God. That's how he distributes talents and gifts. I believe it's all through this room, all through the room out the back, all through the baby's room. All of us have these unique, amazing seeds that have been sown within us. And don't we see them? Because now they're coming to blossom, to bloom. The potential is all there. There is nothing greater than planting something and then watching it grow in the natural, to see it break through the soil, to see that it all looks just that one shoot all looks the same. But then as that grows and develops, you think, man, what color is the flower going to be? What is it going to grow into? How amazing is it going to look? Then all of a sudden, it blooms and blossoms and you think, my gosh, it's breathtaking. It takes my breath away. Well, that's how I see people. That's how I see you. That's how I see this season. I'm wanting to look out of here. My favorite flower is tulip, as you may know. I'm looking at seeing those pictures of the tulip fields in Netherlands and Holland, and seeing all of that grow and develop and all the multiple of colors. See, we got a rich, manifold grace of God over our lives that we've got to steward the colors, the various colors of God. And you're all unique and incredible. I want to see them. This is a blossoming time. Let's blossom. Let's release what's within. No longer hold it down. And if someone's holding it down, then you remove their hands from it. Remove the influence from what's being holding you back. What's holding from what's within you back. Allow it to grow. What's already within you, what's already been planted, what's already been gifted, what's already been nurtured and ready to spring forth, because it's the right season. And are there any areas of your life that you have felt desolate? Well, God invites you to see the potential for newness, new life in that. Identify the seeds he has planted within you and take the steps to water, tend them, trusting that he will bring forth beautiful blooms in this time. In fact, this morning, I just want to pray right now before we continue on, is I want to call them out this morning. So, Father, right across this whole building, Father, for what's inside, for what the seeds and the gifts and the talents that you have placed in each and every one of us, Father, we call them out right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we remove all blockages. Lord, we remove anything that's standing in its way, any of our thinking, any influence from anyone else, any words that have been spoken. We stand against them now in the name of Jesus. Lord, and we allow it to grow. We allow it to blossom. We allow it to see the fruitfulness come in this season in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, if that's something from you, then claim that this morning and let it be so. The call to joy, harmonizing with creation, being involved in this symphony. The passage closes with the joyous imagery of birds singing and turtle doves calling. It's a celebration in nature, reflects the Creator's delight and the joy that should overflow from our lives. The arrival of spring, it ushers in a spirit of festivity, and our response ought to be one of exuberance and praise, just like we did this morning. Can I just grab my water, please, Hudson? Further emphasizing this, Zephaniah 3, verse 17, it says this: "For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears, and he will rejoice over you with joyful songs." What an incredible, encouraging scripture for us this morning. Reveals that God finds joy in us and rejoices over us with singing. It's not happiness, it's joy. It's the joy of the Lord that will become your strength. It's this inner joy, not just a feeling happy today. It's the innerness, it's something within, deep within us, the joy of the Lord that he plants, that we often don't let come out, because it's time to let it spring up from within. But often we suppress it and keep it down for all sorts of reasons, and others don't make it easy either. But let the joy of the Lord spring forth. reveals that God finds joy in us and rejoices over us with singing. Can you imagine a world where our hearts resonate with the song of creation? Spring calls us to harmonize with what God is doing, the symphony of spring, not merely to observe, but to actively participate in his joyful melody across the world. We have this absolute privilege to be in harmony with our God. We have this benefit and this honor to be in harmony with our God, to allow the symphony to ring loud and clear, to sing the joy of the Lord, for others to see, for others to marvel at, for others to inquire of what's happening on the inside. Let this season be a time where we actively seek to engage in acts of joy, praising God, encouraging others, and lighting up the world around us. Time to take the covers off. It's time to let our light shine. Let this be the brightest season of our year. Let this be the brightest time of your life. It's time to be the light of the world. Light up your world. How can we express our thankfulness for the newness of life? Let us not be mere spectators in our spiritual journeys, but let us be participants joining in the symphony of renewal that God orchestrates in our lives. We'll have the guys come up now. I just want to finish with a couple of things. Spring can serve as a profound metaphor for personal change and renewal in numerous ways, resonating with the cycles of nature and of life and spiritual growth. Here's five for you. Number one, emergence from darkness, a symbol of new beginnings. Two, growth and flourishing, cultivating potential. Three, renewal of purpose, reevaluating your goals. Please don't think that goals are just a secular thing. Set your own goals in your life spiritually. It's not all about making money. It's not all about your career. It's not all about something else, but set your goals spiritually. You can do all those goals. They're all great things to have, by the way. I'm not bagging them, but we don't do it spiritually. Set your goals spiritually. What do you want to do in that? It's not a secular thing. Do it prayerfully with God. Do it prayerfully with God. God will put things on your heart. Start reevaluating those goals. Renewal of purpose. Oh, no, I've done that. Joy and celebration. Embracing joy. Embrace joy. Embrace what's happening around us. Embrace this season. Don't just think about it, oh, that's just hype. It's not hype. It's a change, a transition of season. Let it flow into your life. Actually, let it flow from within, because it's in each and every one of us. We suppress it. We hold it back. If you ever wonder why the atmosphere is different from week to week in a church, it's because of us, nothing else. It's from what's within us. I'm not telling you to dance on your seats and swing from the light bars. I'm saying release what's within. Because it's not about trying to create an atmosphere. It's you are the atmosphere. You bring it. I don't want there to be, there are, as I said, this discipleship courses that are around that tells you how to behave in church. I'm not telling you how to behave in church. I'm telling you to be free in God. Be free in God at the season that you're in. And be free to be who you are. That's what I'm telling you to do. Nature as a teacher, learning from the change. Jesus often did it. He used what was surrounding him, and he created stories, and he told stories, and he changed people's lives because he said, "Hey, what's you know?" He could be looking at something around him, like the gates of hell. He was talking about a cleft in a rock in Caesarea Philippi. Now, he was talking about that. He was using what was in the natural and applying a spiritual principle to it. Use what's around you. I love going up the expressway and watching the almonds blossom. I watch the beekeepers move their beehives in. I watch how quick that goes. And this year the wind blew that hard, it blew all the blossoms off the tree, and I thought, I wonder if that reduced things this year. I wonder if nature restricted something, and I still see them there, and I'm hoping that it doesn't affect things. But I look around to see what's happening naturally and seeing what changes can happen in my own life in every single season. I have these trees that are just starting to bud again, and mine seem to be a bit slower than anyone else's. Might say, might mean something there, I'm not sure yet, but I haven't worked that out. But then when I start to see these brand new leaves burst forth, it just brings a joy, because only a few months ago, that same tree was dropping its leaves, was changing the colour from green to auburn and to dark colours, and that was, my trees were glowing, and now I'm watching them as they are bare, they are just twigs, and these buds are starting to form, and I'm getting excited because I think, this new life forming, there is new fruit coming, there are new days ahead, and this thing that looks dead is alive, couldn't be any more alive. It couldn't be any more alive, and I can't do anything about it, because what's happening on the outside is coming from within. And we have more on the inside of us than we realize. You have the living God within you. We have the Holy Spirit of God within you, dwelling within you. Do we understand that? Do we understand how incredible that is? To allow that to spring forth and do amazing things. The powerful themes of the Song of Solomon have profound implications on spring. The departure of winter invites us to embrace change. The blooming of new life awakens divine potential, and the call of joy encourages us to harmonize with the symphony of our God. Can we step forward together, ready to receive the fullness, not just in part of what God has for us, but the fullness. As we appear from our winter, may spring empower us to live vibrantly, colorfully, and purposefully, declaring the beauty of His work in our lives. But please remember today, it will spring up from within. But it will spring up from within. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Father's Day. And don't forget to take your photos.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message this week.